Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. We're going back in time at Walmart. Vermont leading the way. It's the people of Walmart live on the 4th of July weekend. Sterling at night. This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. Temptations. Northern Texas, Fort Worth area. They're in a kerfuffle. We'll give you the details. Later, strippers on the loose. Live on the 4th of July weekend. Sterling at night.
As you celebrate the greatest country human civilization has ever been able to produce, let's take a look at some of the fun stuff that's been happening in America's favorite phallic-shaped state that's just dangling out in the Atlantic Ocean. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on your 4th of July edition of Florida Stories.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. We have 8 kids in a big old house. But we live in southern Delaware, so people are vacationing all around us.
Which means we'll be staying in for the weekend.
More details coming up live on July 4th weekend, Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of a man who killed his sister over his share of his parents' inheritance, who suffered the same fate the following day. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Boy, do I have a beef about this. Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned radio talk show host. I'll tell you about it coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
You and I have a very specific idea when I say the 4th of July. You have a specific idea in your head of something that's truly American. We don't think of the flag. We probably don't think about the fireworks, but there have been events in our lives that are very specific.
And okay, Sean, you're going to be talking to me and Q.
I would go to ShopRite, and I'd walk into ShopRite with her. And I used to think, even as a kid, I said, I don't think this happens in France. I'd go into ShopRite with my mother, and my mother happened to be, I came to learn later in life, an attractive woman. When she walked into ShopRite, the produce manager bowed and scraped. She'd say, Mrs. Sterling, I have watermelons just for you. I have put them aside. We'd walk past the butcher section, and the butcher would look, oh, I have beautiful pork chops for you, Mrs. Sterling. We have saved them just for you. And then 3 or 4 kids who worked at the store would rush to the car and put them into our car and pack it up. And I'm like, I don't think that happens in France. I'm darn sure it doesn't happen in Spain. It's a very specific American feeling. Your specific American feelings, very specific to America events that you experience, that you hold in your memory. Foods, they're specific American foods. The first stereotype one, the first one you come up with is a hot dog. A great American hot dog that's grilled, not boiled. Don't give me that nonsense. It has to be grilled with sauerkraut and mustard on a fresh, hard bun that you can pretty much only get in North Jersey. You go to Spain or Monaco or Germany, you're not going to get a hot dog like that. You figure, well, in Germany, they must have hot dogs like that, bratwurst, knackwurst. No, they're too big, they're too thick, they're undercooked. We are the only country in the world that actually has hot dogs that you and I would consider to be hot dogs. Isn't that right, Alan First? That's our food. But I'll tell you what the real deal is. This is the real American thing. And I only learned this when I did, in fact, go to Monaco. Women in bikinis on American beaches. Well, they have beaches all around the world. No, they don't. In America, we have sandy beaches that are deep, long. Miami, South Beach, the Jersey Shore, the Outer Banks, up and down the coast of California, and place in Georgia that nobody knows about. We have real beaches, but more importantly, we have American women on those beaches. The difference between our beaches and European beaches is that our women are in bikinis. In many places in Europe, they are topless. Well, it must be better if they're topless. It's not. And I'll share with you why coming up in just seconds. But I want you to think about events, moments in your life, or when you look out over the landscape and you go, this could only happen in America. This could not happen anyplace else. And let's talk about it. My number is 888-688-WALT. You know why we can talk about it? It's because I'm live. There's nothing else live on the air right now. You know what you're listening to on other stations? Automation. When you hear voices on other stations at this time, those voices are sitting at Ruby Tuesdays getting drunk. Those voices are at Red Lobster suffering with their eight kids. You and I are alone. You're in the 18-wheeler. We're going across Route 80 in the great United States of America, and you're 14 inches from the speaker, and I'm 14 inches from the microphone, and this is the most intimate and powerful medium that was ever created. And when you hear jerks say, well, you know, it's traditional media, it's old-fashioned media, I'm like, no, no, it's proven media. It has existed for 100 years. Businesses don't exist for 100 years if they are not profitable and successful. Well, why is this profitable and successful? Because if I share information with you about a product or an idea, odds are you'll remember it better than if you see it as the eighth spot in a 20-spot cluster on cable. Because it's just you and me. My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Things that you have seen that for personal reasons, personally to you, mean America. 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT. Welcome. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Jimmy Failla.
The truth is, it takes balls for a man to get ahead in 2023. And if we're being honest, it takes balls for a woman, too.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to tell a wild story that happened to a friend of mine. He was a sergeant working in the Riverdale section of the Bronx, and one night he and his driver were called to the scene of a jumper at a high-rise building along the Hudson River. When they pulled up, there was a woman splattered across the sidewalk. They ran into the building, they talked to the doorman, and they said, what floor did this woman come from? Where does she live? He told them the floor and the apartment number. They raced upstairs, they start banging on the door. This middle-aged guy opens the door in a wife beater, and he's got blood on his shirt, and they go, what the hell happened? And he goes, my sister and I got into an argument over our inheritance, and she threw herself out the window. So they placed him under arrest immediately. And just looking at the inside of the apartment, it wasn't too difficult to figure out what happened. The apartment was just ransacked. There was a broken lamp and a shower curtain. So what it looked like is he hit her over the head, knocked her out, dragged her across the floor with this shower curtain, and then tossed her out the window. They brought him into the precinct, and they brought him up to the detective squad. Now, typically in the NYPD, the detectives will handle a heavy arrest like a homicide because detectives do these things all the time, and they don't want a case getting tossed out on a technicality. So while they're at the precinct, two high-priced attorneys show up and tell their client, don't talk to the police. Then the DA's office shows up, a couple of homicide DAs, and they're trying to figure out what to charge this guy with. Well, surprisingly, a decision is made by the DA's office. They tell the detectives and my sergeant, listen, we want you to avoid the arrest. We don't have enough information yet. And my sergeant said, I'm not doing that. We're going to arrest him, and we're going to run him through the system. You can decline to prosecute on your end, to which they did. The following morning, I guess cooler heads prevailed, and the DA's office realized we got to hold on to this guy. They make a phone call to the detective squad and my sergeant, and they say, go back and arrest this guy. His attorneys are at the apartment right now. They're getting him ready to surrender. So everybody piles in a couple of cars. They drive back up to this apartment. They go up in the elevator to the 20th floor. They bang on the door where they're greeted by this defense attorney. And he tells everybody, just give us a couple of seconds. He's getting dressed. Well, while they're waiting for this guy to come out, he decides to jump out the same window and kills himself and lands in almost the exact same spot where his sister had died the night before. So hindsight being 2020, it was obvious the man should have been arrested and charged with homicide of his sister the evening before and not waiting around until the following day. So that's just another story from my NYPD archives. Be sure to check out my new book, The NYPD's Flying Circus, Cops, Crime, and Chaos.
Let's talk about your America. What means America to you? I don't mean waving the flag and saying to complete strangers, thank you for your service. Things that are day to day, and you look around and go, I bet this doesn't happen in other countries. I bet they don't have these feelings in other countries. In my case, there are really two things. One is a food, which is a hot dog. Now, when I went to Europe for the first time in my life, I thought I could be able to find a hot dog anywhere. That's not true. Good luck trying to find a hot dog anyplace else but in America. And the other is we have women in bikinis on the beach. I went to Monaco for the first time back when I had money. And the I go on the beach in Monaco, south of France, Côte d'Azur. And I came up with a brand new reason to hate French guys. There's another reason to hate French guys. It's 3:15 in the afternoon. I'm on the beach, surrounded by people at the beach, adults. And school lets out. University, college. They were all over 18. College lets out, and they're on the beach. They come to the beach. There are students who are women and students who are guys, and they come into the beach. Get this. As the women lay down on the beach, and the gentlemen they were in class with all day, the women come to the beach. There's the guy she was with all day in class, and she takes off her top and tans. And he's lying next to her. And then it happens again and again. Hundreds of women who are just getting out of the first shift at work or out of their university come to the beach and take off their tops to tan. Now, what did the guy have to do to make that happen? He just had to follow her to the beach. What do you and I have to do to make that happen? You ready? Let's go through this. You meet her on a dating app. You go on a date. You pay for dinner. You pretend to be interested in her career and in her mother. Don't blow it by not being interested in her mother. You pretend to be interested in her mother. And then you say, would you like to go out again? And if you're lucky, she'll go out a second time. Are you going to get her top off the second time? No, you're not. Third time. Are you going to get her top off the third time? If you're very good. And you've paid now for three dinners, three rides, picked her up at work three times, listened to her incredibly boring stories about her mother. The French guy just has to go to the beach. He goes to the beach, and there he is with someone he works with, someone he goes to college with. She goes to the beach with him. She takes off her jeans, string bikini. She takes off her blouse, a bra. She takes off her bra and lies down. That's all that guy had to do. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the reason to hate a French guy. But what does it do? It makes the whole process less intriguing. It makes the whole quest to get the top off unimportant. It suddenly is trivialized. It's like in France, when a woman takes off her top, it's like a woman taking off her shoes. It doesn't count. Guys have achieved nothing. And, you know, that's why they're always on strike. That's why they're on a four-day week. That's why all of their museums are closed on Tuesdays and Thursdays. That's why they're rioting right now, because they don't have to make the effort. You and I do, as American men, to achieve, how do I say this without objectifying women? To achieve the prize. That's what it is. Because no matter how cool a guy is, no matter how feminist the woman is, when a man gets to the point, the relationship with a woman, where the top is going to come off, where he has masterly figured out how to unhook a bra with one hand, which is almost as exciting as flipping a hamburger with one hand, flipping an egg with one hand, cooking with one hand. That's an art. Breaking an egg with one hand. That's what I wanted. Breaking an egg with one hand. Nothing looks cooler than when you break an egg with one hand. Well, you better figure out how to do that, because that more than the egg is going to impress whoever you're trying to cook for. But in America, we have this enormous culture around bikinis. A whole culture is built up around the beauty, the magnificence, the grace of a woman in a bikini on the beach at the Jersey Shore, the coast of California, that place in Georgia that nobody knows about. That's what we do. To me, that is the ultimate American event, to go to the beach and see somebody that you know or have desired in a bikini. And share with me, this is true, isn't it? If you're just coming back from the shore, you're going to the shore, going to the beach, going to the lake, it's true. There's nothing more sensual or erotic than being next to a woman you like and respect, and there she is in a two-piece bikini, baking in the sun, putting on the suntan lotion, absorbing the rays and absorbing your admiration. That's what we do in America. In France, what do? They go to the beach and the girl takes off her top. How is that romantic? How is that intriguing? How is that sexy? Now, let me tell you what made it worse. I'm an American. I'm at the beach in Monaco, which, by the way, is a lousy beach. Great idea, lousy beach, because it's made out of pebbles. It's made out of stone. Most of those European beaches are lousy beaches. They aren't sand. They're pebbles. All the ones on the Mediterranean, they're not sand. They're pebbles. Uncomfortable, lousy. I'm an American. I'm surrounded by topless women. What do I do? Discreetly and quietly, I start taking pictures. What else am I going to do? I'm lying there, you know, at a certain angle so I can get the camera just right without anybody seeing me, without creeping out any woman, without creeping out her boyfriend. I'm taking pictures. I'm an American. Those are the great things that Americans do. We eat hot dogs and we go to the beach and wish that the woman we were with were topless, but they're not, which gives it great intrigue and romance. And it's why we hate the French. I think I've summed that up pretty well. I want to hear from you about what you consider to be a true American event, a true American phenomenon. Here's my number. It's 888. Did you get this here? 888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. Now, tonight, I am incredibly lucky because in America, there are very few gifted radio technicians, radio engineers. I don't like to call them engineers because it confuses people. These are great sound technicians. These are sound shapers, sculptors. They work in audio the way others work in clay. And I get to work with Robert Earl. Now, why are my glasses so horrible? Robert Carl, I know your name. Robert Carl and Sean, who puts out a terrific podcast called Sean Talks. And Sean is a streetwise young man who puts out a podcast every week that you got to hear. It's called Sean Talks. Did you hear me right? I have two audio technicians because these guys know that I need all the help I can possibly get. Welcome. I want to talk to you. 888-688-WALT, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Mayor Frank Rizzo.
Show you what kind of a man you are. You're less than a man. Okay? You're a crumb creep.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Temptations. Northern Texas, Fort Worth area. They're in a kerfuffle. We'll give you the details. Later, strippers on the loose. Live on the 4th of July weekend. Sterling at night.
As you celebrate the greatest country human civilization has ever been able to produce, let's take a look at some of the fun stuff that's been happening in America's favorite phallic-shaped state that's just dangling out in the Atlantic Ocean. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on your 4th of July edition of Florida Stories.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. We're going back in time at Walmart. Vermont leading the way. It's the people of Walmart live on the 4th of July weekend, Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. We have 8 kids in a big old house. Well, we live in southern Delaware, so people are vacationing all around us.
Which means we'll be staying in for the weekend.
More details coming up live on July 4th weekend, Sterling on Sunday.
Boy, do I have a beef about this. Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned radio talk show host. I'll tell you about it coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Temptations. It's a club in an unincorporated area of Tarrant County. Tarrant County is one of the largest counties in all of Texas. It's the home of one metropolis known as Fort Worth. Well, Temptations has had a reputation for things not going well. Violence. Dancers going awry. Just a nuisance of a location. They're owned by a company called RCI Holdings, Inc. Now, you may not know RCI Holdings, Inc., but you probably know some of their clubs. They are the corporate head of Rick's Cabaret. Located around the country, Rick's Cabaret one time had a guy running their location in Las Vegas. Google it, you'll find it. Who was a member of the Bonanno crime family. Yes. Perfectly wholesome stuff. Here's what the county commission did. Is that Temptations cannot be open all night. Temptations must be closed by 1. The parking lot must be empty by 1:15. And RCI Holdings, they're crying foul. Strip clubs are loaded with men with a lot of testosterone. Occasionally, you know, there's a fight. There's a, there, you know, a knifing and stuff like that. Why hold the owners of the clubs responsible? It's basically men. Toxic masculinity. This is Velo Hool from the Champagne Room. Strippers on the Loose, live on the July 4th weekend. Sterling on Sunday.
Oh my gosh, can you believe it? There's Robert Carl. Robert Carl is the greatest audio technician in the history of radio in New York City. He worked with actual talent like Dan Ingram. He worked with Dan Ingram. He worked with Imus in the morning. And now, at the twilight of his career, he's forced to work with Walter Sterling. How did this happen to you? How did you make this mistake, Robert? But I am so grateful that he is here tonight, because let me tell you, tonight I'm coming from the studios of WFAN in New York. WFAN in Radioland is one of those legendary stations that if you're really good to 20 people, you might get a tour of for 5 minutes. I have the privilege of sitting in the main studio of WFAN, but that is only because of Robert Carl. Robert said, wait a minute, you want to put him where? You want to put him in an edit bay? You want to put him in a, you're kidding me. Do you know who he is? And he pulled rank. And he got me the seat in the big main studio with the television lights, which I've never thought were appropriate for a radio studio, but I digress. And I get to sit here like a real broadcaster. And I get to share with you. And then in Philadelphia, because what happens is this signal from New York City goes to our studio WPHT in Philadelphia, and Sean, who makes an incredible podcast called Sean Talks, which you're going to download before the end of the show and get to hear him. He takes care of the mess I make in Philadelphia. Between the two of them, my messes will be cleaned up to the point where no one in management has any idea. The best thing about being on the air on Sunday nights is no one in management has any idea. The reason I never lose an affiliate, because no manager, no general manager, no head of a division, no owner is sober at this time. They've spent the weekend worrying about their financials. And then people called them and said, let's play golf. They go out and play golf. By the 10th hole, they're drunk. By the end of the game, they don't really remember the 18th hole, but they know that they faked their score sheet. They faked the scorecard. They know it's not true. Coming up tonight, I saw this amazing article today, which lent credence to a suspicion I've had, which is that it turns out migraine headaches are worse in the summer, that people get more migraine headaches in the hot months. And I'm like, well, I've heard the same, quote, cures for migraines my whole life, which usually involves standing in front of an air conditioner for 2 hours and trying really hard to keep your lunch down. But then I ran into somebody this week. I talked to somebody this week who I'm going to share with you later in the show, who actually may have a brand new solution for migraine. And if that doesn't sound exciting to you, it's because you've never had a migraine and you don't know anyone with a migraine. And then, because it's last month was Pride Month and I should have gotten to this last month, I have felt, I've always believed that today, if you're a person who wants to go through a sex change, if you're a man wanting to be a woman wanting to be a man, today you get to be who you were always meant to be. That it's not only not a big deal anymore, but it's a blessing. You get to be who you believe you were meant to be. But guess what? 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, you were on the verge of being stoned with rocks if somebody learned that that was your intention or what you wanted to do. And coming up in just seconds, we're going to talk to Allison, who was a man, transitioned to a woman a long time ago in the 70s. And what her life has been like since then is a fascinating story. Coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to talk to Keith Fons, who's in Fairbanks, Alaska, in North Pole, Alaska. There actually is a town called North Pole, Alaska. And, in Alaska, do they feel this is the 4th of July? Do they actually participate in the 4th of July? Or are they still celebrating Russian holidays? Do they still celebrate Russian holidays at this holiday? I want to talk to you. Let's talk about the things that you feel are very truly American to you. What does it mean to be in America for you? My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. The things that have meant being an American to me are hot dogs, because you're not going to get them anyplace else in the world. They don't exist. Well, sure, you go to England, you'll get a hot dog. Italy, you'll get a hot dog. No, you won't. They don't exist. You want a hot dog and sauerkraut on a bun? You're only going to get it here. You're going to get it at Five Points in Union, New Jersey. You're going to get it at Pink's in New Jersey. And then you're going to get it some secret places in Cleveland. I don't know what those are about. However, you go to the rest of the world, you're not going to get a hot dog. Doesn't exist. And in the rest of the world, the fun is spoiled because beaches in Europe are topless beaches. Well, that should be great. It's not great. It takes away all the anticipation, all the romance that you and I only got to experience at the Jersey Shore. Because for a woman to be topless for you, my friend, meant 6 months of begging. My number is 888-688-WALT. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Zahi Hawass.
Don't talk to me. Please, go away.
Sterling on Sunday, unrehearsed, unscripted, unnecessary. Sterling on Sunday, unrehearsed, unscripted, unnecessary.
I'm hot. The way it was going, I thought you were going to play every read. The one I like on there is the last read. So next time we hear that, let's just play the last read, because there's nothing better than sharing this information with you. On a Sunday night, I'm Walter M. Sterling. The name of the show is Sterling on Sunday. And the best thing about being with you is that we're alone. It's just us. You're coming back from the beach, from the lake, driving across the country. We have a rule at Sterling on Sunday. You're driving an 18-wheeler. You call in. You get on the air immediately. Here's the phone number, 888-688-WALT. The last time I was out of the country in Europe, which was quite a while ago, I'll never forget, on their big Autobahn highways, there would be tractor trailers, but they were like miniatures. They were like for a model train set. They weren't real tractor trailers. I love our tractor trailers that are lit up, like Like, the guy who owns this truck has lit up every square inch of it. There's no going to be no mistaking it. I'd love to go buy those trucks. And the one thing I've always wondered about on the cabs on those trucks is, what does that sleeper look like? They all have a sleeping compartment in them, and I've always wondered, what do they look like? And are they comfortable? Are they air-conditioned? Because all I care about in life is air conditioning. My whole quest in life is to be in a well-air-conditioned room. For Father's Day, and when I get a day alone, what do I want to do? I want to be alone. I want to sit in an air-conditioned room at 50 degrees, and I want to watch the History Channel for 18 hours, especially the UFO shows, the Ancient Alien shows, where my favorite episode is Nazi UFOs. There's a great theory on the History Channel that the Nazis had a time machine. It was called the Nazi Bell. And they had a time machine that disappeared, the theory being that it went into time. It went back into time, went into the future. Maybe the guy's shown up, maybe not. But they can speculate on things like that for days. And then the other thing they speculate about on the History Channel is, how were the pyramids built? How were the pyramids built? My favorite theory about how the pyramids were built is that when they say they moved these 4-ton blocks from Aswan up the river, up the Nile, 400 miles away. We don't know how they did it, because the boat would sink under a 4-ton block. We don't know how the Egyptians did it. They certainly didn't do it with brass tools and chisels. No, they couldn't have done it. But now that they're actually studying the composition of those blocks, they're starting to think maybe these weren't quarried. Maybe the blocks for the pyramids and the other sculptures in Egypt were not actually quarried, because they're perfect. The right angles are perfect. They're uniform. No matter how they build them, they're uniform. Every block looks the same. Well, maybe it was a form of concrete. Maybe they were poured into a mold. And all of a sudden, then, it all seems a lot easier. Because one of the things they found out about the Roman roads was, Roman concrete is different than our concrete. They couldn't figure out, how does concrete under the Mediterranean salt water not disintegrate? Our concrete would disintegrate. Our concrete disintegrated at the World Trade Center. Our concrete disintegrated. Time a road goes in near my house the next week, it's going to disintegrate. But the Roman roads throughout England are still there. They're still intact. They look great. Now they think the mixture for concrete in Rome was different, and it was with volcanic stone. That it was a certain volcanic stone, when heated a certain way, would hold its shape forever. I'm reading articles about concrete. Don't ask me why. I'm reading articles about concrete, and what do I learn? I learned that, yes, we know what that formula is, but our concrete makers have decided that it's too difficult to mold when it first is mixed. It's too much trouble to make it when it's first mixed. And I'm like, that sounds like keeping the work going. If you know the concrete's going to fall apart, it sounds like the concrete is going to keep disintegrating, and you're going to keep having work. Now, Sean, you have a clip there called Tolls, because the thing that I hate at holidays like this is the burden that you and I have of paying tolls, which shouldn't happen. Play that clip, Sean.
You call them what you want. User fees, taxes, tolls. They're an encumbrance on the economic future of Hampton Roads and of the Commonwealth.
Finally, in the letter, Greenhood calls on legislators to take whatever immediate action is necessary to help.
What can they do?
I'm hoping that they can do something.
So that's in one town, one area, where the way they got away with imposing a toll, where it was illegal to impose a toll, was to call it user fees. User fees. There's nothing more crooked in our country than toll roads. Why? People think, well, it's to keep the roads repaired. No, it's not. If you look at the budgets of any toll road, the Jersey Turnpike, the Ohio Turnpike, the Pennsylvania Turnpike, you will see that the line-by-line budget items, maybe less than 10% of any one of those budgets is to maintain the road. Less than 10%. You know where most of it goes? Most of it goes to pay off the bonds that built the road. That's where most of that money goes. But my favorite line in almost every toll road budget, which are all public, All you have to do is search it. For any given state, you search it. You search toll road budget, and there it is. They have to be public. And you know what it says? $25, $30, $35 million a year goes to public relations for a road. Does that mean that every road needs a PR firm? Does every road need to have public relations? Oh, my gosh. When I was a kid, every time we would hit a toll road, there'd be a big traffic jam, 2, 3, 4 mile traffic jam. And every dad would get out of the overheating car and look ahead to see what the trouble was. And then report back to the people in the car, oh, there's an accident down there about 8 miles. Some jerk forgot to put gas in. Hey, that idiot has a flat tire. When are they going to clear this up? But mostly it was because of the tolls. And in every case, those roads were built 50, 60, 70 years ago. Those roads were paid for years ago. In the charter of most toll roads is the most astonishing language you could ever imagine. You want to know what it says? Figure, well, it's been paid off by now. There should be no more need for any of this toll. It should be paid off. It is paid off. But there's this phrase, the toll may be collected until the road is paid off, until the bonds are paid off. Unless, in the opinion of the Turnpike Authority, for safety, it is necessary to build more road, to pour more concrete, and then the tolls can be collected until that is paid off. Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
As you celebrate the greatest country human civilization has ever been able to produce, let's take a look at some of the fun stuff that's been happening in America's favorite phallic-shaped state that's just dangling out in the Atlantic Ocean. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on your 4th of July edition of Florida Stories.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. We're going back in time at Walmart. Vermont leading the way. It's the people of Walmart live on the 4th of July weekend, Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. We have 8 kids in a big old house, but we live in southern Delaware, so people are vacationing all around us.
Which means we'll be staying in for the weekend.
More details coming up live on July 4th weekend, Sterling on Sunday.
Boy, do I have a beef about this. Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned radio talk show host. I'll tell you about it coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
All right, good evening. It's Sterling on Sunday. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Regular listening patterns are changing over a long holiday weekend. This may be the first time you ever heard Sterling on Sunday. Well, I've got a couple pieces of good news for you. First of all, our technical supervisor engineer is Robert Carl. Robert Carl is the greatest tech in New York City radio, the most experienced tech in New York City radio, because no matter what I do tonight, it will not be as upsetting as having run Imus in the Morning's control board. Nothing could be as upsetting as that, nor as demanding as running Dan Ingram's control board at WABC, both of which he did. Can you imagine that? Hey, radio geeks, did you hear what I said? This guy ran Imus in the Morning's control board, and he ran Dan Ingram's control board, and now he's working on a Sunday night with Walter Sterling. How could something like this happen? And then in Philadelphia, I have my good friend Sean, who creates a podcast you must hear called Sean Talks. What Sean talks about is material, information, and entertainment you normally don't get to hear. It's candid, it's street, and it's smart. Sean Talks. And then there's me. I have a website. You ready? It's Walter Sterling Show. And you'll find everything there that you've ever wondered about this or would even care to wonder about, including my podcast, which is called Midnight Misfits. And that's you. If you want to be a Midnight Misfit, if you would like to hear your name on the radio like Neil Paul and Judy Paul and Rosemary Furlong and Rebecca Kanner and Dee Wells, welcome. All you have to do is go to the Walter Sterling Show website and click Midnight Misfits. And you will get two things there. You'll get the opportunity to register your name and become a Midnight Misfit. But more importantly, you will get a decoder card. And very often, I give secret messages that can only be revealed through your decoder card. That's right, a decoder card. All right, let's you and I talk. Tonight we're talking about not the American flag and not the uniforms and not the formal 4th of July celebrations. We're talking about what is American to you and me. When we look at something, when we think back about an event in our childhood, in our adulthood, that is like, okay, this would only happen in America. A couple things. One, I'd get in the back of the car when I was a kid, and we'd go to ShopRite with my mom. Now, my mom was a very interesting mother in that she was a great mother, and she was a great cook. Those are the key things. She was a great mother and a great cook. But what I later learned in life is that my mother, probably like yours, was attractive. And because she was attractive, when we walked into ShopRite, when we walked into the supermarket, there was a big fuss about her. A big fuss. The produce manager had saved things. Here's new watermelon here, grapes that I really think you're going to enjoy. Because in my neighborhood, the most powerful person was not the priest, was not the head rabbi, was not the superintendent of the school system. The most powerful person was the produce manager at ShopRite. They determined how good your food was going to be. And if the produce manager at ShopRite didn't like you, forget it. You were going to have the ugliest grapes you ever saw. Your watermelon was going to be rotten. And then he'd say, well, gee, you know, everybody else liked it. Well, that's because everybody else did like it, except he gave you the rotten one. That's a Jersey truth. Believe me, my friend, the most powerful person in New Jersey is the produce manager at ShopRite. But the other thing I noticed about my mom, I was not the most popular kid ever anywhere at all. And remember how you'd go on school trips in elementary school and you'd get on the bus and there'd be five or six moms who would volunteer to chaperone. And in each group with each mom would be five or six kids. And there'd be five or six moms. And the kids would be divided up, and there would be a mom for each group. I was not the most popular kid. Therefore, I was stunned when kids were fighting to get into my mother's group. They were fighting to get into her group. They couldn't wait to be with Mrs. Sterling. And I'd look around, I'm like, what the heck does she do? How does this happen? And I'm not really sure how it happened with 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds, but I think it had to do with the fact that she always spoke to the kids one-on-one. She found everything that they did to be amusing and entertaining, and she engaged. You know, she engaged with them. She remembered their names. She paid attention, and most mothers just said, sit up straight. Well, my mother was there to have a good time. She had a good time, and that's why the kids liked her. When I think about that, and I'm thinking, well, in Bulgaria, or Hungary, do they have school trips like that? Do Hungarian moms go? Do they put down the pastries and do they go on school trips? I don't think so. So I think this is a very American thing. And when I think of America, I think about the school trips. I think about the shopping sprees at ShopRite. What about you? When you think about your life, your experience, your day-to-day, what do you think of is truly American? I want to hear from you. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. But the worst thing about America is the tolls. These roads were paid off. And more amazing, you and I pay outrageous taxes on those gallons of gas. Outrageous taxes. Do you know there are parts of the state of New York where gas is $4.85 a gallon? $4.85. And people say, well, you know, I can get cheap gas. Yeah, how much are you paying? $3.10? Yeah, $3.10. Isn't that great? No, it's not great. Because I remember 2 years ago it was $1.95. You could get gas for $1.95. But again, it was mostly tax. What was the tax dedicated for? It was dedicated for road repair. It was dedicated for road repair. What's the big lie? The lie is that the tolls are for road repair, but that's not where the money's going. That is not where it's going. I want to talk to you. My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of William Shatner.
Follower bound to a bridge by a fountain, the rocking horse people eat marshmallow pies.
Sterling on Sunday, unrehearsed, unscripted, unnecessary.
888-688-WALT. Dawn in Kansas City, listening on KMBZ-FM. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Dawn.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
I've
never understood why people say that to hosts who are begging for calls. They are paid to take your calls. So please don't. How may I help you?
You know, thinking about an earlier America, if you will, you know, the thing that always comes to my mind is the community within the neighborhoods. I feel like that's just missing from anywhere I've seen in my later adult years. I feel like that there's definitely a camaraderie that's missing. And, you know, it was just always a given that, you know, you respected other people's parents, you know, when you were growing up. It was not allowed to not do that in my household. And that's just missing. And I don't know. The last point I want to make is,
yes,
you know, with the onset of technology, which is beautiful in so many ways, it's also just taken away so much of what I just said. I mean, it used to be that, you know, we had like, what, 3 TV channels, and that's kind of what everybody watched. And everybody had something common to, you know, discuss with each other. So, you know, those are the things I remember growing up and just listening to what you were saying about your mother and the supermarket. Those are the things that come to my mind.
Hey, Dawn, it's great to hear from you. I appreciate you listening to Sterling on Sunday. Thank you very much for your call. The difference today is that we do talk about common things, but instead of talking about television shows and the 3 channels, we talk about, why doesn't my iPhone work? Why don't I get a signal here? Remember, the only thing I miss about the past, I swear, I don't have any nostalgia in me, but the only thing I do miss is wired telephones. I liked phones with wires, because today with cell phones, how does every conversation end? It ends with, hello, hello, are you there, hello? That's how cell phone conversations end. Allison, thank you so much for sharing your story on Sterling on Sunday. Welcome, Allison.
Hello, hi.
Allison went through a transition earlier in her life. She went from being a man to being a woman. And today that happens, and everybody applauds, and people go, they're self-actualized. They get to be happy. It's natural. It's terrific. But when Allison did it, what year did you do it, Allison? When did you transition from being a man to a woman?
Well, it was kind of like a boy to a girl, because I started taking hormones when I was 1977, and then I had the surgery in early 1980 when I was 22, so it's quite a while ago, 43 years now.
How difficult was it for you to be accepted by your community, by the people you knew, by your friends? How difficult was that in the 70s to make that happen?
Well, it wasn't too bad when I moved to New York. I grew up outside Portland, Oregon, and it was okay. It was the 70s. It was a bit loose in those days. But then when I moved to New York and I lived in the East Village, it was pretty cool. You know, I had lots of, I like the term queer. I don't like the alphabet soup thing that people say now, but, you know, a lot of queer friends, and it was kind of cool within that little community there, you know, in New York. So it wasn't too bad.
Now, people who have not been through this, which is most of us, people who have not been through the physical process of being transitioned from a boy to a girl,
yeah,
there's a question that I've never heard asked. I've never heard asked of somebody like you. These operations, one, how many operations did you have to have? And was this painful? And how hard was the recovery?
There was only one major operation. And then it did have a bit of a complication, so I had to go back to the doctor for that a few months later. But the thing itself, you know, actually they gave, I think they gave me morphine for 2 or 3 days, so I don't really remember that. The recovery was a bit hard, because I was living in a very small apartment in New York City with a shower in the kitchen, and I really should have had a bathtub, you know, to soak every night. The doctor told me that, but I didn't have it. So it was difficult. It took me quite a while. It took me months to recover from it all, you know, right?
Allison, when you started going out on dates and meeting men or women that you wanted to have a relationship with, at what point did you explain to them that you'd been through a transition, that you had been a young man and now you were a young woman? At what point was that revealed? Was that when you were at Cafe Reggio in the West Village on your second coffee? Or was that when you were having your third piece of pizza or your 10th date? How did that conversation evolve?
Usually it took a little bit of time. I didn't just blurt it out or, you know, give somebody a card talking about it or something. Yeah, a little bit, you know, but if it started getting serious and started getting, you know, they're going to go back together and sleep together or something, then I would tell them, of course. And the thing is, this will probably freak out the more people out in the audience even more, but I've mostly been with women. I mean, primarily been with women, so that's, you know, gender identity and sexual orientation are totally different things.
So, all right, you and I are talking to Allison, who transitioned from being a boy to a girl at a time when that took courage, when that was difficult to do. It was in the 70s. I assume your mother had a hard time with that, or your father had a hard time with it. Do you have siblings? I imagine it was very difficult. But what I'd like to know, because we can all imagine what that must have been like then versus now,
yeah.
There are more young men and young women who want to make this transition, who want to go through this today than ever before. Allison, what advice do you have for a person who wants to go through this transition from being a man to a woman or a woman to a man? Allison, who has lived with this now for 30 or 40 years, what advice do you have?
Well, that's a bit difficult, but I'll just say, there are a lot of more sympathetic people now, to say the least. There are doctors, there are psychologists, there are school counselors, I've heard, teachers. There are even lots of people like that. You know, in my day, you couldn't say anything, really. You couldn't even bring it up. And so that's really good. I mean, those are all really good resources. I know there's been this backlash and things in a number of states and things, but I think that, you know, I think we're going to weather all that, to be honest. And so, yeah, there is that net, especially, I mean, for the younger people, which I would have given anything to have been able to go to a school counselor or a doctor, anybody back in the day, and said it had to be pretty much completely secret, you know, until I got a little bit older. So, I don't know, that's kind of vague, I'm sorry.
In your heart, if a young person came to you and said, should I do this? What would you say to them that they need to ask, that they need to find out about before they do a transition? What would you tell them are the steps to being smart about it?
Oh, well, the thing is with, you know, especially with the younger people and stuff, they're doing the puberty blockers and the hormones and things now. That's okay, and I think it's good if you have really sympathetic parents and you have a good doctor and all that. But the thing is with MTF, if you take female hormones, male to female, they won't really change that much permanently if you change your mind. But if you're a girl who wants to be a boy and you do FGM, then the voice will change permanently and the probably a you know, hair, facial hair and stuff. So that's always a bit iffy when you're young and everything. To be pretty darn sure, and then to just really think about it seriously, because I mean I bet they do it much better now than when I had it done. I think they use lasers and everything. You know, it's a lot better. Of course, it costs a lot more. It probably costs a lot more than what I pay. But just, you know, think about it for a thing. You usually have to go through a period, take the hormones, see a psychologist, talk to people, and be really, if you're really going to do it, really serious about it. But, I mean, believe me, I wouldn't be alive today if I hadn't done it. And that's just
Oh, true. Wait. Say that again. Say that again, Allison.
With the last part?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I'm not just talking about suicide per se, although that's very possible. I think it is very possible, to be honest. I can't imagine I think it probably, I would have killed myself or something would have happened. I don't know.
You said You said mm-hmm. you wouldn't be alive today if you hadn't gone through the transition.
Was that
profound and that important to you? Is that what you said?
Yes, exactly, definitely.
You might have killed yourself or something.
Yeah, I don't really know. I don't know. To be honest, I can't imagine it, to be honest, you know. So I was never...
Allison? No, I understand. Thank you for being on the show, and thank you for sharing this with us, because that takes tremendous courage. But to be able to know yourself well enough that if you didn't go through a transition, a sex change, that you might kill yourself or you might have been in a perilous situation that threatened your life, and have the courage to make that change, Allison, I congratulate you. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Will Ferrell.
I'm listening to what you're asking me, and if you're not listening to my answers, let's just call it a day.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
As you celebrate the greatest country human civilization has ever been able to produce, let's take a look at some of the fun stuff that's been happening in America's favorite phallic-shaped state that's just dangling out in the Atlantic Ocean. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on your 4th of July edition of Florida Stories.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. We're going back in time at Walmart. Vermont leading the way. It's the people of Walmart live on the 4th of July weekend, Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. We have 8 kids in a big old house. But we live in southern Delaware, so people are vacationing all around us.
Which means we'll be staying in for the weekend.
More details coming up live on July 4th weekend, Sterling on Sunday.
Believe me, I have a beef about this. Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned radio talk show host. I'll tell you about it coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. Flagler County, you're first up on Florida Stories. It's your typical drunk driving stop. The guy pulls over and runs over a fire hydrant, and he's half caught in the ditch, and the hydrant is shooting up water to the underside of his truck. He went through a stop sign there, too. And so that's what the cop walks up on, and we're going to join the body cam footage here, where you can't really see it that well, but there's a little bit of a shoving match, and he has to take the guy down. And apparently the drunk Florida man at some point gets a handful of the officer's manhood in the process, and that doesn't help the chaos of the situation.
Sit back over there.
What?
Punch your hands off.
Don't put your hands off.
You fat fuck.
You fat
down. Turn over.
I'm sorry, man.
226, I need a check.
Yeah, this is crazy, man.
Bubba, I ain't doing this to you like that.
Uh-huh.
You got there, okay.
You just grabbed my nuts.
Good news is no one was hurt. So, James, why are you bringing that up? I would like to point out that was on a Thursday afternoon at 4 p.m. This guy is so drunk. On a Thursday, 4 p.m., you're running over fire hydrants, grabbing cops by the sack and just having a good old time. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Part 2 of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
All right, good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday. And tonight, we are in Manhattan, coming to you from the Odyssey Studios of WFAN, a giant sports station. And what's particularly ironic about the fact that I'm at WFAN, a sports station, is that I know nothing about sports. I have been explained to most of my life as to what a down is in football, what a flag means in football. It has been explained to me by actual football players, by beautiful women. Every person possible has explained to me what a down is in football, and they always start this way. Walter, I will explain it to you in a way that you will understand, and I don't. I have never understood it. I don't have that chip in my brain where I can distinguish one play in football or basketball from another play. It all looks the same to me. I understand baseball, And I like the spirit of baseball, which is it is a tragedy if somebody gets hurt. That's the right answer. In football, everybody seems very happy when somebody gets hurt. I find that very confusing. The only football I've ever understood was when I saw film of Trevor Lawrence play. Now, when Trevor Lawrence was 14 and 15, he could throw a 50-yard pass when he was 14 or 15. Tragically, he's on some team in Florida that I know nothing about, don't care about, nobody talks about. It's lost on me. Also, I went through years and years of suffering in high school because I wasn't an athlete. I wasn't a jock. My greatest fear in life is to be walking down a hall in high school and a jock was coming toward me because the odds were he was going to push me against a wall for no reason. You know, hey, Sterling, get out of my way. Boom. That's my experience with sports. Don't understand it. Don't get it. In later years, I came to respect it. I came to respect the skill. Do you have any athletic ability, Walter? Yes. I have bowling trophies. I actually have bowling trophies. Bowling is a fantastic sport. Nobody gets hurt. If somebody does get hurt, it's what? What a tragedy. I was in Minneapolis on a business trip. And Minneapolis is the land of bowlers. They're very serious bowlers. I went to a bowling alley at like 2 in the afternoon because my business meetings were done. I didn't have a flight till 8 o'clock at night. I had time to kill. I had already checked out of the hotel because it was 2 in the afternoon. You better get out of the hotel or you're going to pay for another night. I went to a bowling alley. This was a huge bowling alley, and it was modern and new and crisp and clean. There had to be 100 lanes. There was nobody there. Nobody. Just 2 in the afternoon on a weekday. Just me. The man behind the desk handed me the shoes with trepidation. And he said, this is a league day. I'm like, I didn't know what that meant. This is a league day. The league will be here at 2:45. I'm like, oh, okay. I wish them well. Maybe they'll buy me a soda. I don't know. I start to bowl. I bowl the first frame, the second frame. I had a split. Now I get a strike in the fourth frame. I'm pretty happy. I ordered French fries with cheese because I'm in Minneapolis. And I'm having a good time. The place is empty. And then at 2:45, like a riot outside of the place, every door in that bowling alley opens. All the exit doors slam open, and in comes the league. The league was comprised of the largest women I had ever seen in my life. Every one of these women had eaten an entire corned beef the night before and a case of beer to get ready for the league day. And they get on those lanes, and now I'm in a lane. No. They've booked the lanes. That's my lane, buddy. Get out of my lane. And it's not figurative the way MBAs use it. Well, stick to your own lane and we'll do these studies. No. These were real lanes and real very angry, angry leaguers. Now they put on they get out of their factory uniforms. They, in a fever, put on their league uniforms. They each had not only a custom bag and a custom ball, but they had custom orthopedic shoes, these thick, thick shoes. And now they're each at a lane. And I swear, the minimum weight to be on these, it must have had a weight requirement. These women were very large. And now they start to bowl. But I had never seen such passion for bowling, such intensity. And then I learned about something I did not know existed. And I should have known, but I didn't know. These were cash leagues. These women were playing for actual cash, which could determine the gifts they gave their kids for birthdays and for Christmas. This was serious. And I was in the way of their flow of income. I had to get out of the way of their flow of income. These were dangerous women because these were cash leagues. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and coming up tonight, I'm going to share with you information about new information about a way that might help people with migraines. The reason I'm mentioning this is because a study comes out this week that caught my eye. It said migraines are worse in the summer. Like, really? And then they've done all this very serious study, very serious grown-ups studied it. And sure enough, it seems that migraines are worst in the summer, and there may be a new solution that's coming up. And then you and I will talk about the tolls, which is one of my favorite subjects. There should be no tolls. And if you went across the Chesapeake Bay Bridge this weekend, and not only did you get a brochure explaining to you why the tolls were good, an expensive four-color brochure explaining why the tolls were good, you paid a $23 toll to go across one bridge. It's outrageous. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Gunk.
Join me next time when I go back in time again. Not in an exciting way like in a film. I'm probably just looking at some old pots or something.
Hey, it's 75 degrees. We should open the windows.
It's way too hot to have the windows open.
Are you kidding me? We live in a heating and cooling container the majority of the year. We have to take in the fresh air until it gets to at least 85.
I'm sweating just thinking about that.
Think about all the money we'll save by going on after all.
Think of all the precious time we'll lose from being miserable.
See, don't you just feel so much better?
I feel like I'm gonna sneeze.
Fine. Allergies win. You can turn on the AC.
Thank you.
You know what? I'm going to go read a book on the patio. Enjoy watching Game of Thrones for the 97th time.
Have fun with that book.
That's Alexis from Wisconsin. Alexis does these incredible bits on YouTube making fun of the culture and the traditions of Wisconsin with love and respect, but they're really good. But that one was one that touches me deeply because I need air conditioning. In my bedroom, the air conditioner runs every day of the year. Every day of the year, I need the white noise and I need the ventilation. Most of the year, I need the actual coolant. But when I don't need the actual coolant, I need the white noise and I need the ventilation. In the Midwest, it seems to be a sin to actually use your air conditioner, even if it's 90 degrees out. This is the weirdest thing. I lived in Florida for a year in Fort Lauderdale. And you know what they have on the ceilings in Fort Lauderdale? They have ceiling fans. Well, it makes perfect sense in Florida. The ceiling fans go all day. They cool the place, makes it comfortable. They're stylish. It makes sense in Florida to have ceiling fans. Imagine my shock when I was forced against my will to move to a suburb of Cleveland. Don't tell anybody. Oh, my God. It's a nightmare. It's a freaking nightmare. I live in a suburb of Cleveland, which is where I have my laundry room, which is where we usually do the broadcast for Sterling on Sunday from. They have ceiling fans in almost every home in the suburbs of Cleveland. They also have window air conditioners, which they never turn on. If I go into somebody's home in a suburb of Cleveland or Cincinnati or Chicago or Wisconsin, the odds are they'll have air conditioners, which they will never turn on. There are people with tons of money, like, oh, say, my sister-in-law. They have so much money that they have a pond and a pool. Okay, that's not so impressive. The next thing I'm about to tell you is impressive. They have a pond that they are about to have dredged. Now, imagine living in a fancy, expensive suburb of Connecticut, and you're going to have major bulldozer equipment like the Curse of Oak Island coming to your home to dig up the pond to make it better for the frogs. You know how much money that takes to dredge a pond? But they're phobic about turning on the air conditioning. Today it's 85, 95. We're spending a week with my sister-in-law against my will. And the air conditioning isn't on. The air conditioning isn't on. 85, 95 degrees. In the driveway is a brand new BMW. One of the BMW models with an I at the end. Whenever you see an I at the end of a BMW name, those are the most expensive models. And then my brother-in-law, whatever he is, I never can figure this out, has the audacity to say to me, I look at him and I'm like, it's a new car. And I say to him, do you like the car? Is it a good, do you like it? He has the audacity to say to me, well, you know, it gets me from one place to another. That's all I need it for. Like, thinking, you bought a $125,000 car to take you one place to another. And I bit my tongue and I didn't say a Toyota would do the same thing. A Datsun would do the same thing. Why didn't you do it? I didn't say it. I wanted to say it. I didn't say it. But imagine spending the money to dredge a pond, having a pond on your property, but you're not turning on the air conditioning. How does that happen? But it's true throughout the Midwest, throughout Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Kansas, Minnesota. They don't turn on the air conditioning. It's the strangest thing. And by the way, it's not the 1950s. Air conditioning is not that expensive anymore. It used to be that if you bought an air conditioner, you were looking at $1,000. You needed two people to lift it up. They were heavy as hell. They needed metal brackets to hold them in place. Now you need a piece of wood. They're lighter than a toaster. They come from China. Cost $110 at Walmart. If it breaks down after 2 years, you throw it away, you buy a new one. It's not a big deal. And they've made them more efficient. You keep the door shut, you pull down the shades, you pretend you're very busy in there, and you cool down with an air conditioner. Same thing with schools. How the heck does every city and state have lotteries? And what was the purpose of the lotteries? Well, it was the same as the gas tax. The gas tax was supposed to pay for the repair of the road. Now we have lotteries. What's the lottery supposed to do? It's supposed to pay for education. It's supposed to pay for schools. It's supposed to make our school systems better, right? That's why there are lotteries. I haven't seen one buck, not one penny, go to any school. No school system. 60% of the classrooms in the United States of America, welcome to the 4th of July, 60% of the classrooms in the United States of America are not air-conditioned. The worst bar in your city is the coolest place in town. How can the worst bar have the best air conditioning, but your kid's fourth grade classroom is in air conditioned? If I leave my kid in a 95 degree car, I can and should be arrested. If I drop off my kid in a classroom that becomes 95 degrees, I'm a good parent. How does that work? All the money generated by lotteries is supposed to go to those schools. I know, here's a wacky idea. Go to Walmart, go to Target, and say, we will put a plaque on the front of this school that says, this school air-conditioned by Walmart, this school air-conditioned by Target. And then Target, Walmart, donate two window units to each classroom in that school. You will be heroes. Everybody will be safer and happier. It's insane to me that every classroom in the United States of America is not air-conditioned. How is that possible? And then there's that freak who's the head of their union, head of the teacher union, whose name I always block because, you know, I lost it when she went to Ukraine. Like, she went to Ukraine? The head of our teacher union goes to Ukraine for what? If she was a real head of a union, what would she do? She'd say, my teachers have to be in a great working environment. They have to be air-conditioned. I've never heard their union say one peep about that. Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession. Capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. We're going back in time at Walmart. Vermont leading the way. It's the people of Walmart live on the 4th of July weekend, Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. We have 8 kids in a big old house, but we live in southern Delaware, so people are vacationing all around us.
Which means we'll be staying in for the weekend.
More details coming up live on July 4th weekend, Sterling on Sunday.
Boy, do I have a beef about this. Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned radio talk show host. I'll tell you about it coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. We go to Miami. For some guys, this dude is a hero. For some women, he's an absolute monster. He meets a cop, and it's a female cop. She's really pretty, actually. And they start dating. And the woman starts to get kind of suspicious because they never go back to his place. And he's like, yeah, you know, I live with my mom and it's kind of embarrassing. And can we just go back to your place? And she really likes him, you know. So, yeah, it goes like that for a while until, you know, she's a cop and cops have a good habit of looking into things. And she discovers that he does it with his mom. He lives with his girlfriend who is 7 months pregnant. And so they set him up to meet him at the restaurant, and they confront him when he gets there. And I guess they assume just because they're in public, you know, no one's going to do anything untoward. But they both end up beating him. I mean, nothing bad. They didn't put him in the hospital, but the witnesses say that they were hitting him, and he never hit him back, and he ended up just having to leave. And the bad news is the cop got suspended. Yeah, what, you can't beat up your boyfriend when you find out he's been cheating on you the whole time and living with his pregnant girlfriend? I mean, I'm not saying that makes it right, but I wouldn't mind if she remained a cop. Although, you know, 35 years old, dating a guy that was living with his pregnant girlfriend, I can see why she hasn't yet made detective.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
All right, for our next Florida story, we're going to find this genius in Miami Gardens. He goes into a cell phone store. He's like, man, I got to get me some iPhones. But he didn't put a whole lot of forethought into his disguise. So he improvises a disguise by putting a box on his head. And you may think, well, that's dumb. Why wouldn't you at least take the time to go get a mask or a bandana or really anything other than a box? Wouldn't that work? Well, actually, the box worked pretty good. As long as he can see what he's doing and it blocks the view of the surveillance cameras, which are all above him, so he can still have a big box over his head and look down at the counter. Except for at this one point in the video where he lifts the box up just for a split second, and the store owner gets it from the surveillance camera, and he turns it over to the cops, but they don't do a whole lot with it. What ends up happening is he prints it out, and he takes it to all the stores that are in his little shopping village with his contact information and says, if you see this dude again, because I think I've seen him before, let me know. And sure enough, some guy about four stores down, this dude was having lunch with some friends, and so the guy goes, the cell phone store owner goes, confirms it's him, calls the cops, and they actually get it all done, wrapped up in a bow. Guy's going to jail. Happy ending. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer. What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's third installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
I heard about a new remedy for migraines, and I'm going to share that information with you in about 20 minutes. Good evening, I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is the Midnight Misfit part of Sterling on Sunday, because you and I do not fit in. That's why we're here. Do you think, like, normal people listen to the radio at this time? No. Nobody listens to the radio on Sunday night unless you're going to go work on the late shift, the third shift. You're going to spend the night. You're going to walk the baby all night. This is our time. We are alone, and we prefer to be alone. One of the great things I learned about introverts, and when I read it, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's true. We like plans to be changed. Moments before we're supposed to go out or go to a barbecue or a social event, if somebody calls and says, oh, change of plans, we're going to have to do this another time, inside I'm going, yes. And it turns out that introverts tend to agree that a change in plan is good. This is the hard time of year for me, because Christmas, New Year's, Thanksgiving, that's easy. To enjoy Christmas, Thanksgiving, and New Year's, all I have to do is step outside and look at the decorations, listen to people singing, walk past beautiful department store windows, go into any church, and I can participate in those holidays. This is hard. Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day, this is hard, because how do you participate in these holidays? You have to be invited in. I can't just go to your swim club and show up and start using your pool. I have to be invited to your swim club. I can't just go play golf by myself at your golf club. I have to be invited on a foursome and come with you, da da da. I can't just walk into your backyard and have a barbecue. You have to invite me to the barbecue. And there's nothing creepier than a single man walking on a beach alone. A man going to a beach alone, go with another guy, no problem. Go with another woman, even better. But to go to a beach alone, if you're over the age of, 18 and a half, no fun. These are the holidays where We must be connected to somebody else, and we must participate in things that we get invited to, or the loneliness, especially on a Sunday night of a four-day weekend, is profound. When I was single, which was most of my life, I preferred these holidays. I preferred to be in the center of a city on these holidays. I loved being in Manhattan, being in Chicago, being in Los Angeles on these holidays, because I was always, I could feel as though I was part of something. I'd hear the traffic going by, I'd listen to the radio, I'd watch TV. I felt as though I was part of something in the city. I would have hated it in a suburb. And then, on the last night of a four-day weekend, think about it. You feel the city filling up again. You feel it filling up again, and it comes back to life. But you were there the whole time. The best thing about cities on a night like this is that tomorrow and the next day, you can go to restaurants and they're empty. You go to the delicatessen, no one's going to bother you. Go to the laundromat, nobody's going to bother you. It's as though you have the whole city to yourself. It's as though the city is a set. Oh, this is what a city looks like. Hopefully one day it'll fill up with people. That's what it feels like. Now, this is my favorite story. I've studied this story all week, and I hope this didn't affect you, but I bet it did. I'm going to read this word for word because it's so bizarre. United Airlines CEO Scott Kirby apologized on Friday for flying a private jet this week while passengers were left stranded by thousands of delays and cancellations. The CEO called his decision to reportedly fly from an airport near Newark, Teterboro, where many of the delays and cancellations were occurring, because there was nothing worse this week than Newark Airport, to Denver on Wednesday. He now says it was wrong and insensitive. Taking a private jet was the wrong decision because it was insensitive to our customers who were waiting to get home. He said that, according to multiple outlets, I sincerely apologize to our customers and our team members who have been working around the clock for several days. Well, if he was a real CEO, he would have become a team member. He would have gone behind the desks in the airport. He would have actually taken your luggage and put it on the conveyor belt and tagged it for you and said, no charge. I'm sorry for the delays. He would have suspended all charges for things like reserve seats. Imagine having to pay a charge to get a seat on an airplane when you already bought the seat on an airplane. And then imagine having to pay for the horror show of having to check luggage on a weekend like this, on a week like this. Wouldn't that have been the smoothest thing for a CEO to do of any of the airlines? Say, hey, we're waiving all of those ancillary charges. All luggage is free. We're going to get as many of you upgraded as possible. We're trying to fix this situation. And I cannot believe that the head of the Department of Transportation, that Mayor Pete guy, had the audacity to say this is mostly because of weather delays. It's not mostly because of weather delays. He bought that crap from the airline saying, well, you know, Mayor Pete, we wouldn't have these problems if it wasn't for weather delays. Nonsense. There are ways to fly around it. There are ways to manage those flight loads, those payloads of people. There are ways to deal with it to minimize the impact of weather delays. Instead, it's never been worse. And I told you last week, and it turns out I was right this week, I said one of the biggest myths in American aviation is that the busiest day of the year is the day before Thanksgiving. It's not. Every time they do a live shot from a local TV station on the day before Thanksgiving, they show some poor reporter standing on the entranceway to the local airport, and no one's around them. There's nobody around them. Oh, this is the busiest day of the year. I'm like, really? There's like one sad little taxi and one pedestrian cop, and that's it behind them. The busiest days of the year are in Fridays in June. Those are the busiest days of the year. Why? Because you have the confluence of business travelers coming home on Friday or going out on Friday, and vacationers ending their vacation or starting their vacation on Fridays. Now they're all showing up at the airports on the same day. And sure enough, this past Friday was the busiest day in aviation in the history of the United States of America. This past Friday. Okay, that was no surprise. All these airlines saw their reservations. They saw what the loads were going to be like. They knew how to route their planes. They knew how to staff for it. And what happens? They blew it. Shame on them. Coming up in just seconds, you and I will talk about the horror show this weekend of flying. You thought it was bad on the roads? No, it's nothing. 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. If you were in one of these jams at the airport, I want you to call me and vent. I want to hear about the trouble of getting in and out of the airports this past week. Let's you and I talk. 888-688-WALT. That's my phone number, 888-688-WALT. Why do I have a phone number? Because we're live, and welcome Hank G. Hank G just asked for his Midnight Misfit decoder card, our newest Midnight Misfit, an honor to have another freak with us. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Liza Schlesinger.
Gentlemen, let's say you get a girl to go home with you, all right? Let's say you get a girl to go back to your apartment by the grace of God.
Sterling on Sunday, unrehearsed, unscripted, unnecessary.
All right, Dave Scott is our expert on all things UFOs. Dave Scott has a very powerful website, his own radio show in a country known as Canada. We know very little bit about Canada, except they have no sense of humor. Dave Scott, UFO news this week. Please share it with us.
How you doing this week, my friend? It's good to see you.
We're very excited to be with you, as you can imagine, because you actually talk about the only subject anybody cares about. Now, there seems to be all of this very heavy-handed whistleblowers in the United States government saying, no, no, there really are UFOs. There must be a congressional investigation. What's the latest?
Well, the latest that we're hearing is both Senator Gillibrand and Congressman Tim Burchett are both getting all in a huff and a tuff because all of these whistleblowers want to come out and talk about what they've seen about UFOs, crash retrievals that have come in little bits and pieces, as well as intact aircraft that have somehow landed here or somehow broken down. Maybe they forgot to get an extended warranty before they decided to travel across the universe. I'm not too sure. But we're hearing that within the next 2 to 6 weeks, that there is going to be an announcement that they are going to have more of these talks where more of these whistleblowers who've worked for the U.S. military and the U.S. government come out and talk about what they know about UFOs and potential alien contacts.
And what do you think they're going to reveal?
Well, that's the big question mark because, you know, you in the media, me in the media, you know, we like stories. We like, you know, to be able to follow up on this. But the one thing that this is, you know, they're talking about giving all these whistleblowers these really cool amnesty so they don't get arrested, they don't get punished, they don't get their retirement packages tainted or taken away. They could get other careers. And all they're going to tell us is, we've talked to them, and they blew our minds. We can't believe this is happening. Well, tell us what it's about. That's the problem, Walt, is they don't want to tell us what they're talking about. So you got these whistleblowers who are going on record. They're protected by amnesty, okay? And yet, whatever they're saying is not allowed to come to the public because we're not good enough or not ready enough to get the answers to what they're going to say that, yes, the United States has UFOs in their possession, and, yes, they have alien bodies in their possession.
What is the benefit to a whistleblower to reveal this information but not tell us what they've actually seen or heard? What is the benefit to a whistleblower? They're not selling books, they're not going to get rich off of this. Why are they whistleblowing when they can't actually say anything?
Well, I think the big thing is what they're hoping for is that when it does come out in public, they may get that book deal or that movie deal that maybe has a few, about 7 zeros on the end of a one or something along those lines. I mean, that's speculation. That's me being a little bit jealous. I could say that. Okay, but the big thing that we're hearing about these whistleblowers is they want this story to come out. But the problem is it's only coming out to government officials who have an interest in this topic with these hearings that we're hearing about. I'm not excited about them at all. The last three that we've had have literally come out with no news. And now we're getting whistleblowers like a gentleman like David Grush, who worked for the UAP task force. He came out. He said he's never seen a UFO. He's only heard anecdotal stories about it. He's got paperwork that he turned into Congress that nobody is ever going to see. And you got to believe me, because I'm telling the truth. And I think the guy's telling the truth. I know many people who have worked with him or investigated him who know he's telling the truth. But the problem is, what he actually says under Congress is blacked out for any of us in the media to see. I don't understand the fairness of that, because if he's protected under the Whistleblowers Act, we should be able, as a public, to know what the American government is holding when it comes to UFOs and extraterrestrials and where they are coming from.
Well, I think the big issue is more, where would they be coming from? Because the fact is that we're a zillion light years away from the nearest planet. My suspicion has always been that these are time travelers, that if these exist,
that's one of them,
that these are time travelers. That actually sounds easier than coming from, you know, Alpha Centauri, which is how many light years away, and it doesn't deal with the radiation, the challenge of that travel, doesn't deal with what's going to happen to anybody in those crafts, all of that. But I don't here's the other thing, Dave Scott. Dave Scott is our expert on UFOs. Thank you, Dave, for being on Sterling on Sunday. And here's the other question. Dave, do you think that some presidents of the United States have been told about this and other presidents of the United States have not been told about this? Dave got disconnected because I made the mistake of saying thank you. I made the mistake of saying thank you, which is a universal cue of all talk show hosts to end a conversation. But that's what I want to know. We'll talk to Dave Scott next week. I want to know if some presidents of the United States have actually been debriefed, or if other presidents of the United States have not been, depending on what the secret government thinks a president can handle. I remember that President Trump was asked, do you think that if there were UFOs, you'd be told? And he said, yes, I think I'd be told. And then he was asked, would you tell us? And he said, yes, I would. It's a great subject. It's a lot of fun. We'll talk to Dave Scott again next week. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of George Santos.
No, I don't consider the things I've said to be lies. They're what my great-grandfather, Winston Churchill.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. We're going back in time at Walmart. Vermont leading the way. It's the people of Walmart live on the 4th of July weekend, Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. We have 8 kids in a big old house. But we live in southern Delaware, so people are vacationing all around us.
Which means we'll be staying in for the weekend.
More details coming up live on July 4th weekend, Sterling on Sunday.
Boy, do I have a beef about this. Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned radio talk show host. I'll tell you about it coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
All right, it's Sterling on Sunday. Walter M. Sterling, good evening. I want to talk about something that is always talked about in the corners and the shadows. And it's the difference between a headache, which you get all the time from the people you live with and from your employer, and a migraine headache. And it seems that Dr. Hope O'Brien is the expert at the Headache Center of Hope, which is a private practice located in Cincinnati, Ohio. She's credentialed as an adjunct professor at the University of Cincinnati College of Medicine. Dr. O'Brien, often people will get a headache and they'll go, oh, I have a migraine, I have a migraine, like it's part of the lexicon, but it may not be true. How do I know if I have just a headache or I have a migraine, which is a serious condition?
Headache is a symptom of migraine, and migraine is a diagnosis, and it's quite prevalent. Migraine is a complex neurological disease, and it affects roughly 40 million people living in the United States. The condition is characterized by recurrent attacks that involve head pain of moderate to severe intensity. The pain can last anywhere between 4 to 72 hours and is associated with light sensitivity, sound sensitivity, nausea and vomiting.
Dr. O'Brien is with Kelsey Owens, and Kelsey Owens, who has another incredible name, is a working mom who suffers from migraines, and they found each other. Kelsey, describe your migraines to me. What was that like?
Yeah, so I have been living with episodic migraine for almost 30 years, so since I was just 6 years old. It really affects every area of my life. You know, personally, I have a very active seven-year-old daughter, and having to explain to her that I can't do normal things sometimes, like just take her to the playground or make her a snack, it can be really heartbreaking. And then professionally, I may have to step away with very little notice, and my whole team has to run around and scramble to push deadlines or move meetings or cover for me and take on that additional workload, you know, while I'm out. And that could be for a day or an hour or a couple days. And so it can be debilitating. It can be disabling, and it's unfortunate.
Oh, it's beyond unfortunate. I have had them. The most frightening thing about them is I never know when it's going to end, and I could never trace the beginning. And for me, it was hours and hours. And it was interesting. When it broke, I was exhausted. Dr. O'Brien, what is the hope today after 4,000 years of migraine headaches? Are there new treatments available? What can I do about a migraine?
So the hope is that there is great treatment options available for patients. And, you know, what you describe is really sort of the whole sort of symptomatology of migraine. It's not uncommon that I have patients say to me that after a migraine attack, they do feel fatigue and just kind of not ready to run a marathon, right? You kind of feel logy. And so those are the kind of symptoms that we try to address and treat with some of these new options.
Is there a particular option, Dr. O'Brien, that has intrigued you, that you support? When Kelsey came to you, did you say, why don't you try this? Let's try this.
Yeah, so Qulipta.
How do you spell that?
Oh, sure. It's Qulipta, Qulipta.
How is it taken? How do I get it? If it's a new pharmaceutical, does any other doctor know about that? Because whenever there's a new pharmaceutical, all of my fancy doctors seem to be stumped.
Well, they may not be neurologists or headache specialists. So, yeah, so Qulipta is a once daily oral CGRP prescription medication that is FDA approved for the preventive treatment of both episodic and chronic migraine in adults over the age of 18.
Side effects.
The most common side effects that we see in patients taking Qulipta based on clinical trials is nausea, constipation, fatigue, and sleepiness. When taken on a daily basis, it's been shown, Qulipta has been shown to reduce the mean number of migraine days over time. But I also want to mention something important, in that for those who may have an allergy to Qulipta or its ingredients, that they avoid taking the medicine, as it can cause a severe allergic reaction such as anaphylaxis. And that can occur or happen after taking one dose or days after taking a single dose.
Dr. Hope O'Brien is the CEO of the Headache Center of Hope. Kelsey, yeah, has this medication worked for you?
I have done very well on the medication. I have, you know, experienced fewer migraine days, less difficulty getting through my daily activities. So yeah, it's really made a huge impact on my life.
That's a fantastic thing, because my sister-in-law, who I otherwise don't want to have anything to do with, suffers from chronic migraines. And I know that this will be important news to her. It might be important news to you. Name the medication once more. Spell it, because it makes no sense.
The medicine is called Qulipta, Qulipta. And you might want to introduce the medicine to her, because you may be able to tolerate her better if she's feeling better after taking it.
No, no. You know why? Because everyone's marriage is controlled by their sister-in-law. When you look, as an expert in migraines, when you look at the causes of migraines, have you ever been able to trace one or two consistent things that your patients at the Headache Center of Hope come in and say, well, I'm eating this, I do this. Is there a trend to what they're doing that could trigger a migraine?
There are patients that may be able to identify certain triggers, but the majority of the patients that I see are not. A migraine is a hereditary disorder, meaning it does run in families. And so patients may be sensitive to changes, whether it's weather, hormones, stress. But one of the things that Qulipta does is it targets a molecule believed to be the cause of migraine.
Please spell that medication name again.
Absolutely. The medicine is called Qulipta, and it's spelled Qulipta. And patients can go to the Qulipta.com website for more information, or they can call 1-855-Qulipta for more information.
Because no one has a piece of paper and a pencil right now. Would you please give that website address again?
Absolutely. So the website is called Qulipta.com.
And the phone number?
Yes, it's 1-855-Qulipta, Qulipta.
It's an honor to have you, Dr. Hope, and I'm so happy for you and your 7-year-old, Kelsey, that you have found a way to deal with migraines. Thank you for being on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of iCarly.
Guys, always tell girls to calm down, and it never works. It just gets us all whipped up. You see me all whipped up now? It's because you told me to calm down.
Here's a shocking thing. You ready? Next week, I won't be here because I'm taking a Sunday off. This never happens. It's complicated. I'm on sort of on vacation during the week. I have to be with my sister-in-law. I hate it. But the great T.J. Lubinsky is going to be guest starring next Sunday. T.J. Lubinsky. You've seen those oldies concerts on public television where they pulled together all these great doo-wop acts and all of the great British invasion acts, and they restaged these concerts with the original stars, with the original talent. These are incredible productions. They are pulled together, produced, and often directed by T.J. Lubinsky. T.J. has these relationships with these stars, and he's got stories I'm going to share with you next week. T.J. Lubinsky. The thing that I find fascinating about T.J. Lubinsky is I figured that those concerts that you and I would see on public television were produced and owned by public television. They are not. They're owned by T.J. Lubinsky. He has all the rights to them. And he leases them to public television for 6 months at a time. How about that? Imagine doing that for over 25 years, gathering the groups, staging the acts, producing them, editing them. And the freakiest thing about T.J. Lubinsky, he's like you and me. He does not fit in. His workday starts at 7 p.m. and it ends at 7 a.m. He does his editing, his review, his legal work. He does all of that overnight. But he has kids, and he has a wife, and he has young kids. How does he do that? It's very clever. He puts the kids to bed, and then he puts the kids to bed, and then when they wake up in the morning, he makes them breakfast and sends them to school, and then he goes to bed. That's how he works it. All right, this is the July 4th weekend, and I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday. We're having the best time. This is our special weekend where we do not fit in. We are not invited to the barbecue. We're not invited to the pool party. We're stuck. And this is the challenge that we have. You can be a part of this show. All you have to do is go to the Walter Sterling Show website and register to become a Midnight Misfit. There you'll be able to download your secret decoder card. Did you hear me? Your secret decoder card. And then you will get the information you need to decode the messages that I will give you in the Midnight Misfit Hour. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
The United States dollar took another pounding on German, French, and British exchanges this morning, hitting the lowest point ever known in West Germany. It has declined there by 41% since 1971, and this Canadian thinks it's time to speak up for the Americans as the most generous and possibly the least appreciated people in all the earth. As long as 60 years ago, when I first started to read newspapers, I read of floods on the Yellow River and the Yangtze. Who rushed in with men and money to help? The Americans did.
They have helped control floods on the Nile, the Amazon, the Ganges, and the Niger. Today, the rich bottom land of the Mississippi is underwater, and no foreign land has sent a dollar to help. Germany, Japan, and to a lesser extent, Britain and Italy were lifted out of the debris of war by the Americans, who poured in billions of dollars and forgave other billions in debts. None of those countries is today paying even the interest on its remaining debts to the United States. When the franc was in danger of collapsing in 1956, it was the Americans who propped it up, and their reward was to be insulted and swindled on the streets of Paris. I was there. I saw it. When distant cities are hit by earthquake, it is the United States that hurries in to help. Managua, Nicaragua is one of the most recent examples. So far this spring, 59 American communities have been flattened by tornadoes. Nobody has helped. The Marshall Plan, the Truman Policy, all pumped billions upon billions of dollars into discouraged countries. Now newspapers in those countries are writing about the decadent, warmongering Americans. I'd like to see just one of those countries that is gloating over the erosion of the United States dollar build its own airplanes. Come on, let's hear it. Does any other country in the world have a plane to equal the Boeing Jumbo Jet, the Lockheed TriStar, or the Douglas 10? If so, why don't they fly them? Why do all international lines except Russia fly American planes? Why does no other land on Earth even consider putting a man or woman on the moon? You talk about Japanese technocracy and you get radios. You talk about German technocracy and you get automobiles. You talk about American technocracy and you will find men on the moon, not once, but several times, and safely home again. You talk about scandals, and the Americans put theirs right in the store window for everybody to look at. Even the draft dodgers are not pursued and hounded. They are here on our streets, most of them, unless they are breaking Canadian laws, are getting American dollars from Ma and Pa at home to spend here. When the Americans get out of this bind, as they will, who could blame them if they said, the hell with the rest of the world? Let someone else buy the Israel bonds. Let someone else build or repair foreign dams or design foreign buildings that won't shake apart in earthquakes. When the railways of France, Germany, and India were breaking down through age, it was the Americans who rebuilt them. When the Pennsylvania Railroad and the New York Central went broke, nobody loaned them an old caboose. Both are still broke. I can name you 5,000 times when the Americans raced to the help of other people in trouble. Can you name me even one time when someone else raced to the Americans in trouble? I don't think there was outside help even during the San Francisco earthquake. Our neighbors have faced it alone. And I'm one Canadian who's damned tired of hearing them kicked around. They will come out of this thing with their flag high. And when they do, they are entitled to thumb their nose at the lands that are gloating over their present troubles. I hope Canada is not one of these, but there are many smug, self-righteous Canadians. And finally, the American Red Cross was told at its 48th annual meeting in New Orleans that it was broke. This year's disasters have taken it all. And nobody, but nobody, has helped.
Ten. I hope you enjoy your food.
It's Macy's 4th of July sale with our lowest prices of the season. Like the Radley Sectional, $23.99. And the Monroe Queen Bed, now $2.99. Plus, get a free adjustable base with qualifying mattress purchase at Macy's.
We're back. 888-688-WLOW.
Save hundreds during the 4th of July mattress sale at Raymour & Flanagan. Get the.
Where did that come from?
Oh. Yeah, it's coming from me.
All right. So I've enjoyed being with you. I always enjoy being with you. But the great thing about being on the radio at this time of day is it's just us. We just get to be together. It's an unusual and special experience, and I am grateful to you. You and I should stay in touch. It's WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. That's my email address. And every email that we get gets answered. Did you hear me? Every email we get gets answered. And then on my website, waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com, you'll find out all the information you've ever wondered about this show. But more importantly, you'll find out all the information you've ever wanted to know about Florida Stories. Florida Stories, done by James Parker, does such a great job for us. But what I have to share with you is that the greatest gift you and I can receive is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.